This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Anthony Albanese is the new Prime Minister of Australia, and his victory is said to turn on his remarks about climate change, great concern about climate change in Australia. Jeremy Zakas is here to report from New South Wales that this election has all around it evidence that the climate is changing dramatically and unpredictably for Australia. From the west to the east, I'm learning the landscape of Australia in extremis. Jeremy, a very good day to you. Congratulations to Prime Minister Albanese, but on to the weather. You have La Nina now. You have had the Indian Ocean Dipole, which you're teaching me about. But now you have something called the Arctic Surge. What is that? Good day to you.
G'day, John. We do. We have the Triumvir now. We have the Arctic Surge coming up from the south, or I should say the Antarctic Surge. It's also known as the Polar Surge, which is this large mass of cold air. So imagine, John, we've been talking about La Nina, which is this tropical high system that brings a lot of moisture and rain down to the east coast of Australia. Now, think about the same thing down in the south, but very, very cold, a lot of moisture again, and a lot more wind behind it. And that's exactly what we're getting right now this weekend as I speak. And what it's going to do to us here in the east coast, in the southern parts of Australia, even as far across to the western side of South Australia, which is our central state, is going to bring freezing temperatures, cold winds. It's going to bring gusting thunderstorms, which are rapidly moving thunderstorms, up to 100 kilometres an hour, which are 60 miles an hour in your parlance. And it's going to bring the rain, the ice, and the lightning and the thunder. And the worst part is, John, we could actually start seeing early snow. This is the most interesting thing. We could start seeing snow as far north as Canberra, which normally doesn't get snow at this time of year. So we're really pushing it right now with a strange weather pattern.
It's a wonderful lesson in the other side of the world that I made a mistake by calling it the Arctic Surge. Of course, I've spent my life worrying about the Arctic, and you have the Antarctic. It's a joy to consider. Now, your Antarctica is a continent. This is weather coming off of another landmass that was once upon a time moving around. It might have even touched Australia. I don't remember, but everything eventually came apart. So is it normal, typical? Nothing's normal anymore. Forgive me. Is it something you've seen before, an Antarctic surge in the fall? This is not winter for you. You've got a month left for the fall.
That's right, John. We are not in winter by any means yet, and this is not normal. We do see Antarctic winds in our winter time, and when I say winds, it's normally cold polar winds that come up and touch the southern states of Australia. It does get down to those 0 degrees Celsius, so 32 degree Fahrenheit temperatures. It does actually help bring the snow into our snow fields in southern Australia, but not normally this early, and certainly not with the high 100 kilometer an hour winds that we're expecting today. So what we're getting is a weather event that we do expect sometimes in winter on extremis. We're getting it absolutely much harder, much faster, much higher than normal. So this is well and truly outside the normal of what we're seeing. And coming at the top of an Indian Ocean Dipole, which has only just started a couple of months ago, and on the back of our third La Nina season in a row, and with the promise now that we don't know when La Nina is going to end, there's now the question here, is this polar surge now the start of a third part of our weather system where we will see this rapid move between tropical rain bursts coming down here in Sydney to rapid polar surges coming up from the south going through Victoria and also hitting us in Sydney, and then the Indian Ocean Dipole acting kind of like a battery behind the scenes, making sure that these two weather systems continue to function and relatively go into a cycle where they won't end for a long time.
You do have La Nina upon you, and the report is that it could be staying around for a third year. So let's talk about what La Nina is doing now. It's mostly been directed at flooding in Queensland. Has it poked into New South Wales? Have you had unusual rains?
We have this week again. In fact, it came down as far as Sydney and certainly even as far as Canberra. So we're seeing it move further south from Sydney. And it was very much the traditional now, John. And unfortunately, it's a new normal where we're getting the heavier than normal rains. Heavier than normal, when I say normal, normal being now almost 2 years plus ago. So this is a very unusual cycle. And it is just pure high rain, so 30 to 40 millimetres, which is really just something that we're not used to seeing. because the fact is that we should be in a dry part of the season. This is normally the dry before the winter, especially here in Sydney. We don't tend to get the heavy rain. So for us to have this, we're finding it difficult to cope with. But Queensland too, because they've had the heavy wet season during their summer, they normally get a lull about this time before it goes into the winter. So right now, the fact that they continuously get rain, we're reading news stories all the time of the poor residents in rural Queensland who just can't repair their homes, who just can't return to their homes from 2 years ago in some cases, from the original floods, because the floods continue to come. The floods continue to just wash through the areas.
I'm looking at a photograph in the Guardian. This is in Australia, Guardian, of a town in Queensland called Laidley. And it's completely underwater. There's a man walking in his shorts with an umbrella and a yellow jacket on so he can be picked out in case there's trouble. But in front of him is something really cool. It looks like a super team, a swift water rescue crew. They're wearing what looks to be maroon and yellow. Do you have these in New South Wales too? And are they the fire department? Is that what I'm looking at? Because they look like superheroes.
We do, and they certainly are superheroes, John. In fact, a lot of them are associated with the fire department, so they're professional rescuers, but they're also volunteers. They're our rural fire service volunteers and our state emergency service volunteers who are donning those suits. And I dare say they're in Laidlaw. They are probably the volunteers you're seeing more so. And they have some really cool bits of kit, as you said. They have those swift boats. They have some really high-powered rubber dinghies with very, very capable motors. And they actually need to bring these things, and this is the funny part, need to bring them inland because that's where the water is now. So they're not working on the coast. They're not working in the ocean anymore. A lot of these people who do life-saving at the beaches during the summertime, they're having to bring their skills inland because they're dealing with floodwaters that are absolutely higher than any sort of water movements that you'll see in the coastal regions. So it's an interesting sight to see, and certainly it is pretty cool watching them work because not only do they work with the boats on the land, they also work in concert with the helicopters too, so you'll often see them directing in aerial rescues too. So these guys and girls do a fantastic job, and unfortunately they're being called on almost every week now.
Now, the Indian Ocean Dipole, not to leave it out, I'm following Peter Hannam in The Guardian. The Indian Ocean Dipole is forecast by all climate models to enter its negative phase in coming months. I don't know what that is, but it doesn't sound positive. So let's read the next paragraph. That phase of the dipole, negative phase, we could guess that this isn't going to be a happy ending, which gauges the relative differences of sea surface temperature across the ocean, increases the chance of above average winter spring rainfall for much of Australia, lifts the odds of warmer days and nights for northern Australia. So the part of Australia that's tropical is going to be hotter. You're going to have more rain. And then you also have to deal with snow pattern along your southern coast. I'm confused, Jeremy. What is happening to Australia? You're being assaulted as if there are armies out there.
We are. The world has gone topsy-turvy. We are very much under the assault of Mother Nature right now. And I should also point out, too, that the negative Indian Ocean Dipole means that Western Australia, in Perth especially, which tends to get a fair bit of rain at this point, will actually go through a relatively dry period because all the moisture and the heat have gone up to the north. All the cold down the south creates basically a lane where Perth will miss out on rain for a while. So there's an absolute high chance that they will actually be in drought while the rest of us are swimming in rain, ice, snow, everything else. Being assaulted by Mother Nature, there are some parts of Australia that will go completely the opposite. And honestly, John, I mean, I have never ever seen anything close to this before. We're definitely seeing a very unusual pattern, and this isn't the end. This is pretty much the, I think, beginning of the story, because these patterns are getting more unusual, getting stranger. The polar surge we're seeing now, the Indian Ocean Dipole going into the negative regression period where we're getting higher rain. This is all, again, I'm maybe getting tired of saying it, but new territory for us. So something's happening with our climate, John. Something bad.
You grew up in Adelaide. Did you get snow in winter in Adelaide as a child?
Only on the very, very rare occasions. And when I say snow, it was more like a very light dusting at our highest mountain peaks. And there's a hill there or a mountain there called Mount Lofty, which is approximately 2,000 feet above sea level. On a really cold night with the right humidity, there would be snow. But that would happen maybe once every 2 or 3 years. And there was just never the cold. There was never those cold snaps. But I know in Adelaide, having spoken to the people I still know back there, they have been getting cold snaps too. They've also been getting the weather we had this week. So they've been getting the heavy rains, which is, again, outside the norm. So this is very much, even for Adelaide, an unusual weather pattern.
With the rain come the reptiles. Now, this is a happy ending story. There's no reason to for people to be too frightened. But we are going to talk about the brown snake. Jeremy, remind everybody about the brown snake. What is it? Why do you watch for it when you're walking across your lawn?
Yes, the brown snake is one of our most fearsome reptiles. And the reason we watch out for it is, one, they're very hard to see, especially in the Australian bushland, being brown twigs, brown leaves, and the snake itself being very brown. Two, they're extremely fast and they're extremely able to come back and bite you. They're very aggressive. And three, which is the worst part, they have an extremely strong venom. And this is venom that can kill you anywhere between half an hour after the bite to 24 hours. So it can be a slow release toxin into your blood system. So honestly, the brown snakes are one of these things that we respect, we fear. And honestly, John, anywhere I walk in the summertime, especially around my house here in Lower Sydney, you have to watch out for them because they are not scared of humans. The old adage is you make a lot of noise, they run away, but they're not scared. So that's the brown snake, John, just to remind people.
All right, now, humans fear brown snakes, but Jack Russell Terriers don't fear brown snakes. The story of the Jack Russell Terrier defending his mistress, what happened?
This was up in the Sunshine Coast, John, and it was a Jack Russell Terrier who was just minding his own business in his own backyard, and his owner, a 40-year-old woman, was just going about her daily business. Anyway, along comes a brown snake into the backyard, and this Jack Russell Terrier does what dogs naturally do, defends its home. Goes after the brown snake, gets it in its mouth. There's a bit of a commotion. The woman comes out from her house, sees the Jack Russell with a brown snake, suddenly thinks, oh my goodness, my dog's about to get bitten. But the worst part here, John, is that this woman lives in an area where she's used to seeing tree snakes. So in her mind, all of a sudden, she's seen her dog attacking a green tree snake, which is not venomous, which is quite sedate. She automatically, off a reaction, goes in to try and save her dog, grabs the snake out of the dog's mouth. The snake turns back and bites her. She thinks still at this point it's a tree snake, so she just puts it into a container, puts a towel over the top, which you do if you have a tree snake, and she takes a photo. And then she calls the snake catcher and says, hey, I've been bitten by this snake. Could you have a look at the photo and just make sure it's nothing dangerous? Well, the snake catcher immediately responds and tells her to start bandaging herself and call the ambulance. It turns out that tree snake, which we all knew was a brown snake from the story, was actually a baby eastern brown snake, which, when they're young, they have a bit of a lighter green tinge and rings and look like tree snakes. So, John, everybody survived, but oh my goodness, tree snakes now look like brown snakes. So this is the world we live in.
You left this detail out when you warned me about brown snakes. You left out the fact that baby brown snakes look like tree snakes. They have a rings around the body, and they're not brown. They look this looks sort of greenish.
They do. They're very, very pale, and they stay pale up until their teenage years, which is roughly just over a year of their actual age. And honestly, the way that they act too are very much like tree snakes, because tree snakes tend to be a bit slower. They tend to be a little bit more relaxed in their movements, whereas brown snakes are much faster. They tend to be a hunting type of animal. But baby eastern browns are still learning the ropes, and especially in the colder weather too, if it hasn't been a hot day, they'll be a bit sluggish. Though everything they're doing tells you it looks like a green snake, but a green tree snake. And in this case, the photos do it justice insofar as I would have said that was a tree snake. I would not have picked that as a baby eastern brown. But it goes to show here in Australia, you just don't know what's going to bite you next.
Jeremy, you remember the very famous movie Ghostbusters. What we need is a instructional film called Snakebusters. Who knew? I mean, when you get off the plane in Australia, do they give you a pamphlet so you can learn about the snakes of Australia before you leave the airport?
They almost need to. It needs to be a pamphlet with not only the snakes, but also then we get down to the spiders and just our pure natural wildlife. I mean, don't even get me started on the kangaroos. They look all cuddly and fun to play with, but watch out. They'll try and fight you. So honestly, John, we need to have some sort of community announcement, or apart from Ghostbusters, I think we need to get Snakebusters. And honestly, it's something that a lot of people truly are making a lot of money out in the snake catching business.
All right, winter coming on. Antarctic surge upon New South Wales and Victoria and Canberra. La Nina perhaps for a third year, and the Indian Ocean dipole pushing very warm air to the north and very wet weather to the South. Jeremy Zakas in New South Wales, in Sydney. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.